Well, they got a nice wife for Joseph, and he settled down and built himself a house. And he brought up Manasseh and Ephraim there, and he was very fond of his children, was Joseph. He was a good father. And he had also very good servants there. But in the course of time, the famine wasn't only in Egypt, but it was in all the Middle East, all that part of the world. They were right up to the land of Canaan, where Jacob, Joseph's father, lived. And you know, they got thinner and thinner and still thinner. And they had 11 mouths to feed there. And after a time, they got nothing more. The wife of Jacob, you see, went to the cupboard, and when she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so they had none. Nothing at all. Okay? Yes.
Does it mention the Joseph's wife's name?
Oh, yes. What was the name of Joseph's wife? You told me that. Joseph's wife was an Egyptian name. You mean Jacob's wife is what I meant, wasn't it? You asked me that.
No, I think, you know, Joseph, when he had kids.
What was the name of his wife? Where's my little Bible? I'll tell you his name. It's an Egyptian name. I just read it, but I can't call it to mind because it's an Egyptian name. But she was the daughter of the priest of On. It is. I'll tell you that. That's a good question to ask. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land. And the Pharaoh gave him in marriage Asenath, A-S-E-N-A-T-H, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. That's who she was. So she was a parson's daughter. So she must have been good, wasn't she? You see, my wife is a parson's daughter. Yeah. Come on.
I can never say his name. The guy who...
Potiphar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Is he still Pharaoh's, like, guard?
Oh, he was the chief of the guard. They couldn't sack him in those days. They couldn't fire them. So he was there. And Pharaoh sent for him 2 or 3 times and said, I'm making your slave, king of Egypt, in fact. He's going to rule over all Egypt. Now, how much do you want for him? Because he's going to enter my service. And a slave couldn't do that. So Pharaoh probably paid him back his 20 pieces of silver, whatever he'd paid for Joseph. So they made a transaction and Pharaoh bought him. Okay?
Joseph's children, say.
How old are they? Did you say how old?
Yeah.
Well, they were no years old, 0 years old when they were born, of course. But they were born within the first 7 years of plenty in the land, both of them, Manasseh and Ephraim. Before the year of the famine came, Joseph had 2 sons. So in the first 7 years of their marriage, they got 2 sons. Okay? Any more difficulties? Well, the people at home, you see, Jacob, Joseph's father, were getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And they heard through the grapevine that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said to his sons, go down to Egypt and buy us some corn before we die. So they all set out to go down to Egypt with their asses, their donkeys. And when they got to Egypt, who did they have to go to?
Joseph.
Joseph. He was the only man allowed. He had Pharaoh's ring, didn't he? He was the only man allowed to sell the corn. So they had to go to Joseph. Now, Joseph had been set up as the ruler of Egypt, and he didn't look like the Joseph he was when he was 17 years old. When you're older, you won't look like you are now. You'll look grown up. And Joseph was grown up. And when the 11 sons, his brothers, came and knelt down before him because they were all afraid of him. They were terrified of the ruler of Egypt. He recognized them, and they didn't recognize him because he looked different. You see, he got Egyptian clothes on, and he got his beard shaved off because the Egyptians didn't have beards, and they shaved them off. So he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. So they knelt down before him and said they'd come to buy corn because they were starving at home. Now Joseph recognized them, and he thought, now what shall I do? He thought of his dreams, that his brothers and sisters would come and bow down before him. You see, and here it was happening in his very presence. So when they'd said they wanted to buy corn, he said, who are you? So they said, oh, we're the sons of one man. We're all of one family, and we're honest people. Joseph thought, now they'd sold him and pocketed the money themselves. We're honest men's son. He said, now go on, I don't believe you. You're dishonest. Your spies come to spy out the land where the weak points are so that you can destroy Egypt. They said, oh no, sir. Oh no, sir. We're not spies. We're honest people. And our father's still alive. Of course, that's what Joseph wanted to know, whether his dad was still alive, because he didn't know. There wasn't any postal service or telephone like that in those days. So he wanted to find out without saying who he was. So he said, well, I want to see whether you're honest people or not. Oh, they said, sir, we are honest. We've never done anything wrong in all our life. So he thought, oh, boys, this is terrible. What shall I say? So he didn't say a thing. He wanted to teach them a lesson. And they needed to learn a lesson, didn't they, those boys? They got away with it too long. Put their old father into them, thinking that his son Joseph was dead when they knew he wasn't dead. They didn't care at all. They were as hard as they make them. So Joseph said, I want to see if you're honest people. So he winked to his servant, you see. He gave a sign to his servant. He said, now go and bind them hand and foot and put them in jail. So he did. He had them thrown into the dungeon, probably the same dungeon that he'd been in. And they cooled off for 3 days. And after 3 days, he called them out of the dungeon and said, now look, I'm a man who fears God. I'm not going to do anything wrong to you, but I want to see if you're speaking the truth, because if you haven't learned to speak the truth, you're no good to me. So he took one of them, Simeon, and he bound him hand and foot and said, I'm going to keep him here. You've got some other brothers, haven't you, at home? Yes, they said, we've got some other brother. We've got Benjamin at home. Now, Benjamin was the full brother of Joseph from the same mother. So he was particularly anxious to know what his full brother, who his full brother was, because he hadn't seen him for 13 years. So he said, you'll go home and take some food for your father and the rest of the family so you don't die. But I'm going to make sure you're coming back to me. And you'll not see me again unless you bring with you Benjamin. Benjamin, you see, was the full brother of Joseph. So he said, oh yes, sir, we'll go and do that. So he told his servant to pack their bags and to put all the money that they brought with them to buy the corn into their sacks and tied their sacks up again. So he returned their money and took nothing for it, for what he'd given them. He said, you go and bring me back Benjamin, and he didn't mention his name, he said, your youngest brother. And then I'll give you Simeon free, but Simeon will sit here as guarantee that you come back with my brother. I'm going to make sure of you people, because I don't trust you. I think you're spies. He knew they weren't, you see, but he was going to make them afraid, because they need a little lesson. People who do that need lessons, don't they? So they said, yes, sir, we'll be back as quick as we can, and we'll bring Benjamin along with us. So he said, now, okay, now you're going back home to your father. There's one thing you haven't got to do, and I shall find out. Be careful. You haven't got to quarrel on the way home, because if they quarreled, you see, they'd be gone too long. So he didn't want that. So he sent them off, and when they got to the inn at night to sleep the night, one of them opened their sack, opened his sack of corn, and in the mouth of the sack he found that the corn sack was full, and all the money he'd paid for it was in the mouth of the sack. So he said to the others, "You guys, watch out, there's something going to happen to us, because all the money that I gave that man for my corn has been put into the sack. There's some queer fishy business going on there." So the others trembled with him and said, "Oh, perhaps it was an oversight, perhaps it was a mistake." But they were very, very afraid. And Reuben said to them, "Now look here, I'll tell you guys what's happening to us. When Joseph came into the wilderness to visit us while we were looking after father's sheep, we heard Joseph beg us not to sell him into slavery, and we hardened our hearts and we didn't listen to him. This is the punishment for that." They had a bad conscience, you see. So their conscience was really wakened up now. So they went home and they told Jacob what had happened. And Jacob, when he heard it, he said, you are dumb, aren't you, you kids? Why did you tell the man that we have another son, Benjamin, that he couldn't come the first time? Why did you tell him that if he didn't know, he wouldn't have asked for him? He said, "But I'm not going to give you Benjamin." But they said, "Now look, we can't go back to the ruler of the land." They still didn't know it was Joseph, you see. They had no idea it was Joseph. "We can't go back and see him unless Benjamin with us. We won't go, because we can't see the man unless you give us Benjamin." So the old man started to cry and said, "Look, you've robbed me of Joseph, and now you want to rob me of Benjamin. I won't let him go." So they stood there as long as they could, and they hadn't anything to eat at all. They were really at the end of everything. They hadn't even a can of sardines there. So after they'd stood looking at one another for 2 or 3 weeks, they got so hungry that they went to their father again and said, "Look, give us Benjamin and we'll go again." But he wouldn't. He stuck there. He said, "Now look, you've almost killed me over Joseph. I thought I should die when Joseph disappeared, when Joseph was killed by the lion, as he thought. But, you know, after a day or two he got so hungry, and there was not even corn in the soup that they had to eat, just water. And there wasn't much water either. So after 2 or 3 days he said, "Now okay, if one of you will go surety," you know what that means, don't you, to go surety, "if one of you will guarantee that you'll bring Benjamin back safe, then you can take him." So it was either Reuben or Judah, one of them, I forget which, who said he'd go surety for Benjamin if he'd entrust Benjamin to him, he'd bring him back and guarantee. He said, "You can kill my own children if you like, if I don't bring him back." He was so put to it with hunger, you see, that he did that. Well, they got straight, and Jacob said, "Now look, I see the man who's the ruler of Egypt. He's a very hard man, and maybe he'll take off your heads just as easy as he'd kill a fly, you see. So take him a nice gift from me. Make some honey and some balm and the best things that we have in the land, the last things that are left." They hadn't got very much left in their larder. "And take it as a gift to the man. Perhaps he'll be kind to you instead of so hard." So they made a little present for Joseph, some honey and some balm and some myrrh and things like that that they wanted, and said, "Take it as a present and go and see if you can make him a bit softer towards you." So they said, "Okay, Dad, we'll go now." So they took Benjamin and set off for Egypt again. And when they came to Egypt, they were directed straight to Joseph again, you see. And they didn't know it was Joseph. Benjamin and Joseph saw them, and he said, "Oh, there are those people there again. Bring them to me and tell them that they've got to eat with me in my house at lunchtime. We're going to have a meal together." So they said, oh, he's only going to take us prisoner, and he's going to take our asses and steal us and make us slaves for life. You see, they had a bad conscience, and a bad conscience made them fear things that weren't there. They didn't know that Joseph knew them, that they were the brothers of Joseph. They had no idea of that, because Joseph didn't speak to them in Hebrew, you see. He spoke to them in Egyptian, and he had an interpreter to do it. So one of them said, when he turned up so hard again, they said, oh, this is all because we heard Joseph praying us not to sell him into captivity, into slavery in Egypt, and we took no notice of him. This is the punishment for it. And they said that to one another in Hebrew. And they didn't think that Joseph would understand. And Joseph understood them, because he hadn't forgotten his mother tongue, you see. And when he heard them making recriminations to themselves, that is, blaming themselves, he had to disappear into the bathroom quick, because he started to cry. You see, he was so upset to think his brothers had such an evil conscience, and he loved them so much, although they'd been so wicked to him, that it really upset him to hear this story, that they said, this is because, this has happened to us because we sold him, in spite of the fact he begged us not to sell him. And Joseph heard it and understood it, and he disappeared into the bathroom, and it says in the Holy Scriptures he washed his face, and then he came out again. You see, if you come out with tear marks all over your face, they know you've wept, don't they? Don't you? And he didn't want them to know that, otherwise they might have rumbled the whole business. And he was teaching them a lesson, you see. So when he came back and looked a bit fresh, he said, now come, we're going over to eat together. And when he got them over to his house, they were terrified. And they saw the guard standing at the door, because high officials always had a guard, an armed guard standing at the door. And they said, let's talk to him first before we go in to see what he wants. So they talked to the armed guard at the door and said, look, when we came back from Egypt the last time, each of us found money, which we paid for the corn, in his own sack. We're very sorry about that, but we've brought more money and we've brought the old money back again. We don't want to be dishonest. So that'll be all right, said the man. The Lord your God thinks it well with you, and he gave you the money back. And the servant himself, the armed guard, had put it in his sack, put it in each one of his sack, because all of them had got their money back again. So they were terrified at this, but wait a minute. They nearly forgot themselves over the next one that comes. When they got into the house, they found the table all set, and they found that the youngest, Benjamin, was at the head of the table, and next to him came the next eldest brother, and all 11 of them were placed round the table according to their seniority in the family, according to their age. Well, they said, that must be a god, this ruler of Egypt, because he knows that we're brothers, and he knows our ages, and he knows the order in which we ought to sit. So they were terrified. This man is a cult, they said, he knows everything. Well, they sat themselves down, and then it was announced outside with bugles as he came in that Joseph was coming home to eat with them. So they really were terrified at this, that the ruler of Egypt was going to eat with them. They said, he's going to steal us and make us slaves for life. Well, they had a little side table for the Egyptians and a big round table for Joseph and his brothers, because the Egyptians weren't allowed to eat with the Hebrews. That was an abomination to them. The Hebrews had to eat separately. So they sat down at table, and each one confirmed that Benjamin was in the right place, and Judah and Simeon were all in their right places, and they started to eat. Now Joseph came in, and he sat down to eat with them too. And so they had a good meal, but, you know, they couldn't enjoy it because they were so terrified of what was going to happen to them now. They were in the man's house and they were under guard, you see. There was an armed guard at the door. So they were absolutely, they say in English, frit. I don't know whether you know what frit means. It means frightened. Frightened to death. You know, they couldn't even get enough saliva in their mouth to eat and enjoy their food because they were so frightened. Now when they finished eating, Joseph called one of his servants to him He said, now you take the sacks of these men, which you filled up with corn, and this time you put in the mouth of the sack of Benjamin, it must be in Benjamin's sack, you must put the silver beaker, the silver goblet out of which I drink, by which I prophesy, he said, because that was the holy goblet that he had to drink out of. You put that in Benjamin's sack. So he, servants didn't ask any questions in those days. He put the silver goblet in Benjamin's sack and sealed it up with string again. And after the meal, they were all dismissed by Joseph, and Joseph kissed them all, but he kissed his brother Benjamin most. And Benjamin had more to eat than all the others, because Joseph sent over to his plate the stuff that was on Joseph's plate so that his brother should have the best, Benjamin. They were all surprised at that he did that to his brother Benjamin, because they didn't know he was his brother at all. They had no idea, because he spoke Egyptian the whole time with these people and not Hebrew. And they spoke amongst themselves Hebrew, and that was it. So they all got onto their donkeys after they'd had their meal, and were glad to get out of the house where the armed guard was. And when they got out of the house, they rode off towards the frontier, to rode back to their father with all the food and all the rest of it. And when they got out of the house, Joseph let them go about an hour, and then he sent his servant, the armed guard, after them, and said, why do you repay good for evil? I've been very kind to you. Why do you steal from my table? So they said, oh, sir, we've stolen nothing. They said, okay, we're missing at the table the silver beaker by which my master, they didn't say Joseph, of course, because he had an Egyptian name then, by which my master prophesied, and that's the most important piece of cutlery we've got in the house. So they said, no, we've not stolen anything, we're honest people. So they said, well, the sack in which I find this missing goblet, this missing beaker, that person is going to be my slave forever. That's what our master says. So they started to look, and they started in the sack of the eldest, and they worked down from the eldest right to the youngest, until in Benjamin's sack they found the silver beaker. God, when they saw this silver beaker come out of Benjamin's sack, it says their heads fell, and they wept. So they turned back to Joseph's city again, and said, we are thy servants forever. Oh, no, said Joseph, you're not my servants. I don't want you. But I do want the man who stole my beaker. I want Benjamin, the man who stole my beaker, which is what he thought, you see. And he'd done it himself, just to teach him a lesson. So the other said, Reuben said, look here, I'm surety for that boy. I can't go back to my father, because if he's not with us, when my father sees that Benjamin isn't there, he'll have an apoplectic fit, and he'll have a stroke, and he'll die. I can't do that. Don't demand that Benjamin stays here, because if you do, it'll kill my father. He was, you see, he got a stroke of good, he got a stripe of good in him, hadn't he? Poor old Reuben. So Joseph said, no, I don't want anybody except the youngest who did the stealing. Okay, so that's the end of that little section. We'll do another one, if you can stand it.